Did children ever teach you anything? Maybe I should have said, is there never a time children don't teach you something? I may not ask it like that. Because, you know, our grandchildren was kind of, they were here this weekend, and Justin, one of our sons, said, Everett started to kindergarten. And when they went to kindergarten, you know, it's time, that's big time. I mean, when you go, they're going to school. Ask one of our other grandchildren, are you going to kindergarten next year? Said, no, I'm going to New Hope. So, well, you know, kids have a way of teaching you something. And so, on the way home, after the first day at school, Everett told his daddy, said, Daddy, said, you know, lunchtime, had a good lunch, but Daddy, we didn't pray before lunch. You know, coming from a five-year-old, that's pretty neat. Now, this is up in Amory, okay, not here. But prayer, how powerful is prayer? We reached the point in the Sunday school lesson, we're about to launch into that and ran out of time, Brother Scott. But we understand that. Prayer is so amazing. Did you know there's a church up in Brooklyn? Well, you've heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, right? The church there in Brooklyn, they have a prayer meeting on Tuesday night. And it all started when a few people needed some help in their life. And a few of them got together and they started praying. And then all of a sudden, they started seeing God perform some mighty works. And people they liked that. And all of a sudden, it started growing because God was answering prayer. Prayer's so amazing, isn't it? But yet, sometimes we catch ourselves in doing so little of it. And I wonder if it's because, do we pray? Do we believe in prayer? Do we see God at work? You know, I was thinking that with our church, maybe we need some additional prayer meetings. Because I know there's some special needs inside of our church. It might be that God starts leading us and moving us in a direction where we come together and say, look, we're going to come out at this certain time and all we're going to do is pray. You want to come join us? You come on. Now, God can do some amazing things. But by the way, it can be costly. Let me take you to Milton, Florida. Because in Milton, Florida, I tell you what, before I carry you to Milton, Florida, let's just see. Prayer is so important. But yet, boy, if I got real, can I get real nasty just for a moment? I'd do it anyway. Okay, you know what? If I asked you, have you prayed in the last month? Would you nod your head? Good. And other than eating breakfast, okay? Now, I'm not going to include breakfast, okay? Did you pray the last week? Good. Did you pray this morning? Good. Okay. And some said, I'm going to nod because everybody else is nodding. He won't know the difference. I'm not going to do that to you. But you know what? Prayer is so mighty, so powerful. But somehow people are losing the point, Larry.
Do you pray?
Oh, when I'm in trouble, I do.
Do you pray?
No.
Tell me why.
I don't know why, to tell you the truth.
Actually, I do, but not very regularly.
Do you pray?
Every now and then.
Sometimes I do, yes. Every day, several times a day.
5 times a day?
Many times during a day.
Once a week, maybe.
Every day, all day.
Do you pray?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, how often is sometimes?
Like, once a month. I try to do that more than I might, so.
Have you prayed this morning?
Not this morning, because I was running late.
Do you pray?
No, I don't.
No. I do not.
Tell me why not.
Because I don't believe in God.
I don't think there is just one religion. And I think that, maybe I should pray at least some form of God, but I haven't found it yet.
Tell me why not.
I'm not really sure what I believe in.
Actually, I take that back. I do pray in the sense of just sort of a quiet, reflective time that's sort of more of an introspective analysis. But there's not a supreme being that I would say that I pray to.
Tell me what you prayed about.
I prayed about just the basic prayer, you know, forgiving me of my sins and things of that nature.
Just for people I know who died and just
prayer. Prayer, when we begin to think about that, if it really gets close to us, it's literally going to change our life. But if it really is that close and that important to us, how often do we do it? Or do we compromise? Do we allow the world trying to squash us down into some kind of fashion or try to make us like everybody else rather than say we're not going to compromise, but we're going to stand up tall for Christ? Wherever we are, we're going to allow Christ to rule and to reign in our life. And when He does that, things happen. We were at Jared and I attended an FCA banquet, a preaching. R.V. Brown preached in Columbus High School. There was probably 350 kids there, and 38 teenagers made a decision for Jesus Christ. Folks, prayer, I'm telling you, prayer is awesome. But sometimes we allow other people, other societies, and other cultures trying to take away from what is really true and near to our heart. But if you do this, there, you can be careful because certain things may happen. I'm sure that you, if you were listening to Fox News on Saturday, August the 15th, 2009, a principal and an athletic director in Florida could be charged with crimes and spend 6 months in jail after they prayed before a meal at a school event, the Washington Times reported. After they prayed at breakfast, they're going to possibly spend time in jail. One guy wrote, he says, I've been defending religious freedom issues for 22 years, and I've never had to defend somebody who has been charged criminally for praying. It was at the same school in that area in which there was going to be a high school senior, valedictorian, that was going to speak, and they said no. They CLU sued and said no, do not let this young lady speak because she may say something religious. And it was also at that same school that when they had, there was about 300 students, and when they came for the graduation and all exercises, they wore crosses. And then during the ceremony, with an impromptu, all 300 got up and said the Lord's Prayer. You know, somehow making a difference with what we truly believe in. Because the scene, capture this. We're going out into a cornfield now. It's been hot. You've been praying. You've been walking. Maybe you've been fasting for a period of time. Don't know exactly. But this is what I do know. You've been walking now with your leader. You're going through a cornfield. Could be wheat. And as you go through there, you're hungry. It's Saturday morning. It's the Sabbath day. And as you walk through this cornfield, all of a sudden you reach in there and you grab some grain and you kind of rubble it together just a little bit and you get the seed there and you pop it in your mouth because you're hungry. You're hungry. Well, while you're doing that, there's some other guys that are walking at a distance and they're kind of watching you. And so they walk up, they walk up to the leader and they said, how is it that your guys break the law on the Sabbath day? Now, wait a minute. Was it a law to walk through the cornfield? No. Was it a law to break that you could not eat the grain that was on the stalk? No. No, Deuteronomy says it's not against the law. Was it a law against eating on the Sabbath day? Well, they said it's a law to do any form of work. So taking a little bit of grain and rubbing it together, that's considered work. And so therefore, they're breaking the law. Now, wait a minute. Does that make sense? These people who have taken something that was so rich and so pure, the Ten Commandments. And then they said, as one of the Ten Commandments, you're not remembering the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Because if you don't do this the way we see it, then you have messed up, you've broken the law, and God's going to rain down judgment upon you. Now wait a minute. Back up just a little bit. You turn around and you look to your leader. What's your leader going to say to you? He told me we could eat. But do you ever feel bad when somebody is getting chewed out because of you? Well, these guys were there. They watched it. And they said, well, what's he going to do next? And all of a sudden, he begins, and let's pick it up right there. Let's see what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 12. We'll begin reading with verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the show bread that was not lawful for him to eat, neither them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read the law that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place one is greater than the temple. But if you had known this, what this meaneth, that I will have mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. What are we going to look at? You got to listen to somebody that you can trust. The disciples trusted Jesus when he said to eat, and they ate. Now, the Pharisees did not trust Jesus and said, Now your disciples are breaking the law. And all of a sudden, who are you going to believe? The Pharisees, the legalists? Those who study the law, wore the law garments, gave 10%? Or are you going to study and understand and trust Jesus? We really have to come to grips with this, folks. Are we going to trust Jesus? Is Jesus a name that can be trusted? Because trust builds on consistent living, and now they're challenging Jesus. Jesus, are you being consistent in your life? And what did Jesus say? There are three holy or sacred institutions that Jesus brought up. One was the king. And so he took the king, the most favored king of the Old Testament. His name was David. David had been ran out because Saul wanted to kill him. And he had a group of men with him, and they were hungry. They went into an area in which there was showbread, and it was not lawful for the average person to eat it. But David was hungry, and the priest gave him the food, and he ate it. Number one, he used the sacredness of the temple. The king ate the bread. And you say it's not lawful? Number two, he went into the synagogue area and he said, into the temple area. He said, let's look at the priest. What does the priest do? Man, the priest every Sabbath day goes in there and cuts the meat up, cuts the throat of an animal, makes a sacrifice unto God and puts the showbread out, and you don't condemn the priest. So there's the king. There's the priest. And then look at the third institution, and that's the Sabbath day. Look at the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, Jesus now says, look, one is greater than the Sabbath who stands before you. So what is the conclusion of this? Is Jesus a name that we can trust? Look at the religious world. Look at the three institutions, the government. Hey, David. The temple. Hey, the priest. The Sabbath day, hey, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. So therefore, with the authority of what Jesus says, He is consistent throughout, and we can trust Him. People have different trust levels. I remember a guy named Jimmy Diltz. Jimmy Diltz, well, if there's somebody in here, I guess John Brown looks like him. except John doesn't weigh as much. There was this guy that was about 6 foot, probably six, weighed about 350 pounds. I mean, and he was a guy that came to church, and we witnessed to him, and we wanted to share Jesus with him, and we told him how to be saved, and we wanted him to be saved. But you know what? He wouldn't be saved. He said, here, let me go with you out on visitation. Take this big... I felt comfortable with that. You can go down any dark alley. I wasn't afraid. I had Jimmy with me. And so therefore we took Jimmy. And we went out soul winning, and we went out witnessing. And over the course of weeks, Jimmy saw that it was real. And because it was real, he said, I'm ready now. But he says, one thing I ask of you. He says, I want to be baptized in the lake. Okay? Now, you got to remember, Jimmy, Robert. Okay? Jimmy Robert. So we go out into the lake, and we're going to baptize Jimmy. And when I started down with him, there was more him than me. And so we were going out into the lake, but we got him down there. And I didn't drown him. And he didn't drown me. And we got him down. But you know, the amazing thing was, he trusted in the name of Jesus after he saw the consistency in the lives of those who proclaimed the name of Christ. So number one, if we're going to trust, if a name that we can trust in, that's in the name of Jesus. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can trust in Him. The second area I want you to see. Trust builds upon valuing people. How was that? Valuing people? Consistent living, I understand. Valuing people? Well, let's pick it up in verse 9. And when he departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than sheep? Wherefore, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored like the other. A name that can be trusted. Trust builds on valuing people. What was the teachable moment? We left the cornfield and the Pharisees. We entered into the synagogue. We'd call that the church, okay? We entered into the church. And you would think in church that you would have a little bit of peace in mind, right? You think in church that everybody did love every one another. Don't always work out that way. Inside of the church, then, they brought in a man with a withered hand, and they said, what are you going to do about him? We're watching you. They wanted him to heal so they could say, aha, he's healing on the Sabbath day. He's working contrary to the Ten Commandments, contrary to God. And all of a sudden, he looks at them, and he values. What's the value of possessions? What is that? Which of you, if you had a sheep, fell in a ditch, would you get it out? What would the response be? Sure I would. It'd be stupid to let the sheep. And are sheep going to get into ditches on the Sabbath day like every other day? Sure they are. It'd be dumb to leave that sheep in. So they would have said, yeah. And all of a sudden he turns around and says, look at the value of a man. How much more is a man valuable than possessions? And then he goes on one step further and he says, what is the value of doing good? Which is it lawful? Should we do good on the Sabbath or not? Well, how do we take our rest? I'd like to challenge you to rest and wake up. No. I'd like to challenge you to rest on the Sabbath day. But how are you going to rest on the Sabbath day? I'd like to challenge you to say, Lord, in the next 365 days, I'm going to intentionally bring two people to church who need to know Jesus. On the Sabbath day, or Sunday, Sabbath is the Saturday, Sunday is the day we worship. But I'm going to intentionally make my life a point in the next 365 days that I'm going to do good on Sunday because I'm going to bring two people who need to know Jesus. Can we really do that? I read after one pastor, large church. He said what he did, he got a boating, race boat. He loved boating, okay? And so what he did, he got him a racing team. But the people that he selected, every one of the men were lost. And so therefore, he built a racing team because it was something that he liked to do. And over the next 7 years, by the way, it took 7 years for many of those guys to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He started a racing team intentionally. If we really value people, it'll make a difference in our life. Because the Lord is concerned. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, I don't know of anybody in here that doesn't know somebody that needs to know the Lord. But could we really say, Lord, on the Sunday, I'm going to give to You. I'm going to invite this person to sit with me. I'm going to invite this person to go home with me and eat. I'm going to invite this person to go fishing with me. Intentionally, I'm going to celebrate Sunday with someone who needs to know You. Yeah, they may be lost as cooties goose, but they still need to know Jesus. I believe that God will literally change through trust. Through trust. And when we trust in the name which is above all names and we value people, He's going to make a difference. Because the last thing I want you to see this morning is that trust builds upon a positive attitude. What is that? Let's take a teachable moment right here. Verse 14. What is the teachable moment? Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Him, how they may destroy Him. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him. Note these words. And He healed them all. Not some of them. Every one of them that came out and followed Him after they threatened Him with His life, they wanted to kill Him, the people followed Him, Jesus healed them all. And He charged them that they should not make Him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, My servant, whom I have chosen, My beloved, in whom My soul is well pleased, I will bring My Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall not be quenched. Smoking flax shall not quench. He shall not quench. Till He send forth judgment unto victory, and in His name shall the Gentiles trust. And in His name. Teachable moment. They got their little groups. How can we kill Him? How can we snuff out His life? He had to move from that situation, but it did not change His attitude. It did not change the outcome, because He built His life on a positive attitude of restoring and building and helping, because He valued the life of people, because He was consistent in His walk. And therefore, with this positive attitude, all of a sudden this changing moment comes right here with a challenging moment. He spoke to these people saying, don't make Me known, but here's the moment of truth. Why can you trust Jesus? Number one, Jesus served as the one chosen by the Father. That's verse 18. Behold, My servant, which I am chosen. He served as one chosen by the Father. Number two, Jesus is the Son of God serving in perfect harmony. He's in perfect harmony. He said, My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus is chosen by the Father. He's obedient. He's under the authority of the Father. He's working in harmony. Jesus can be trusted because Jesus has been endowed with the Holy Spirit. He said, I will put My Spirit upon Him. Jesus showed the nations how to live, and He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Jesus lived His life in humbleness. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear the voice in the streets. Jesus lived His life with mercy. A bruised reed shall He not break. A smoking flax shall He not quench. Jesus lived His life in victory, till He shall send forth judgment unto victory. Therefore, Jesus is a name that can be trusted. And the Scripture says, and in His name shall the Gentiles trust. So, what are we to do? One, we're to trust in the name of Jesus. What are we to do? We are to value the worth of man. What are we to do? We are to seek to live a servant life with mercy and humility. And what are we to do? We're to press on singing victory in Jesus. Now, how long do we have? Do you feel like you're almost home? Okay, I'm fixing to get that dirty moment again. Here's that dirty moment. How many of you have started praying for revival? Remember we put it in the bulletin? Don't answer that, okay? If you started praying for revival, do you remember who the revival speaker was going to be? If you remember who the revival speaker is going to be, slip your hand up and put it back down. Good. Okay. Isn't it amazing how important something is to us? How close was the revival to be? Middle of October? Well, let me tell you about the speaker. The speaker's name was Don. Anyhow, he's a preacher. He'd gone off to, I believe it was to Indonesia. He went overseas on a mission trip. And he came back to preach a revival, and he was getting all fired up. And he went down and left his home, and he started preaching a revival on a Monday night, I think this past Monday night. And while he was down there, he started home. And on the way home, a call came in to 911. And 911 reported an accident about a single car. Well, the address was a very familiar address. Two paramedics responded to that. They responded to the call, and they went to 1086, about 500 yards from 1086 Mara Road in Conahata, Mississippi. These two paramedics, they went there, they responded last Monday. And as they responded now to this place, they went in there and they started working with this individual. In fact, it was a brother-in-law. They were brother-in-laws. And they started working this accident. The car was tore up so much they didn't recognize it. The man was in such a bad shape, they didn't recognize him. So all of a sudden, some papers fell out of the truck. And when they saw the papers, the man's name was Don Taylor. It was his son and his son-in-law that was working the accident. He was 500 feet away from home. And he went to sleep and rolled his truck. And now, rather than coming to share with us in a revival in October, he's gone on to heaven and having a revival in heaven. But how close, it's amazing, how close he was to home. And he really didn't realize. His own son, his own son-in-law, didn't know it. Folks, it's so the time for us is close. How many of us are almost home? And how many people need to come in a relationship with a name that they can trust? And how many people need to understand the value of human life? And how many people need to trust in the name which is above all names? We have this moment. We have this time. May we commit to God that we would trust in the name which is above all names. And may people come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, time is so short and the truth is so real. Help us today, Lord, to be consistent in our life. Help us today, Lord, to value people. Help us today, Lord, to trust in Christ, in Jesus, who is with victory and leads to victory. Chosen by you and now leading us. Father, the days are before us. Help us make each one of them count. And may your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to give you the opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ almost home, 500 feet from a place of safety, but it went to a place of eternity. How close are you? How close are you? Do you need to give your life to Jesus Christ? I encourage you this day to give your life to Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk with you. Other people in the church would like to pray with you. The prayer altars are going to be open. We encourage you today to trust in the name which is above all names. Because the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. May we commit our lives this year for people to come to know Him personally. Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.